Today's Christmas carol originates from Luke 2, 8 to 15. Here it is in the NRSV, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So today's Christmas carol started out as Echo of the Mountains of Bethlehem, a French Christmas carol that was first published in 1842 in the first edition of a book called Selection of Hymns to New Tunes for All the Feasts of the Year. It was written by someone identified only by their initials, W.M., who lived in a former province in southern France known as Languedoc. I have no idea how to say it, but literally that means the language of Oc. Before I read the words to this, let's consider what happened that night out in the fields. Some shepherds who lived in the fields were keeping watch over their flocks. The duties of a shepherd in that time and place were very demanding. They faced daily hardships and dangers, including wily bandits and wild beasts. Shepherds also occupied the lowest rung of the social ladder in the ancient Near East, alongside tax collectors and dung sweepers. Their testimonies were worthless in court. They were ostracized from both social and religious life. It was to this despised, excluded, forgotten, and marginalized group that the angel of the Lord appeared. These shepherds were used to dealing with criminals, wolves, hyenas, panthers, jackals, lions, and bears. They were not easily frightened. Yet, when just one angel of the Lord stood before them and the glory of the Lord shone around them, the shepherds were terrified. These tough shepherds who were used to dealing with incredibly difficult conditions, challenges, dangers, and degradations were terrified. And the original Greek there says that they feared with great fear. When seasoned and stalwart sheep herders are terrified, that tells us something about what angels are actually like. So that angel gave the shepherds an assurance, an announcement, and an affirmation. The assurance, "Do not be afraid." The announcement, "To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord." And the affirmation, "You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." So think about this. The angel told the shepherds that something had happened that would change everything. A baby who had been born, who was the true King, Savior, Messiah, and Lord. And God chose to announce this joy-filled good news, the best news of all time, to these shepherds, people who were among the most despised, excluded, forgotten, and marginalized. And then suddenly there was with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." So if one angel's presence and words produce terror, can you imagine what it must have been like to experience the presence and words of a multitude of them? The title of this old French Christmas carol makes more sense to me when I think about that. Surely the heavenly voices echoed in the surrounding mountains, a magnificent sound. So I encourage you to enjoy and receive the glorious imagery evoked in this beautiful retelling of the angelic appearance that night in Bethlehem. Echo of the mountains of Bethlehem. The angels in our countryside have intoned the hymn of heaven, and the echo of our mountains repeats this melodious song, "Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria in excelsis Deo." Shepherds, for whom is this feast? What is the object of all these songs? What victor, what conquest deserves these triumphant cries? "Gloria in excelsis Deo." They announce the birth of the liberator of Israel. And, full of gratitude, let us sing on this solemn day, "Gloria in excelsis Deo." Let us all go together under the humble roof he has chosen to see the adorable Messiah, to whom we will also sing, "Gloria in excelsis Deo." Let us all seek the happy village that saw him born under its roofs. Let us offer him the tender homage, both with our hearts and with our voices. "Gloria in excelsis Deo." In the deep humility in which you appear before our eyes to praise you, King of the world, we will repeat this joyful song, "Gloria in excelsis Deo." Always filled with the mystery that your love operates today, our duty on earth will be to sing every day, "Gloria in excelsis Deo." Already the blessed angels, the cherubim, the seraphim, busy with your praises, have learned to say to humans, "Gloria in excelsis Deo." Shepherds, far from your retreats, join their concerts and let your tender bagpipes resound in the air, "Gloria in excelsis Deo." Docile to their example, Lord, we will come henceforth in the midst of your temple to sing with them your blessings, "Gloria in excelsis Deo." That's how this carol started. And over the next quarter century, a variety of small changes were made by a Jesuit and seminary professor, a bishop who did his utmost to arouse his countrymen from religious indifference, and a hagiographer. That's someone who is a writer of the lives of the saints. And the title of this Christmas carol morphed to "Angels in Our Countryside." Taken from the first stanza, "Angels in our countryside, they sang the hymn of the heavens, and the echo of our mountains repeat this melodious song, Gloria in excelsis Deo." And then in 1862, Anglo-Irish Bishop James Chadwick adapted this French Christmas carol into English, greatly reducing the number of stanzas and calling it "Angels We Have Heard on High." Chadwick's lyrics are original in some sections, including the title, and loosely translated from the French in other sections. And this carol quickly became popular in the West Country region of Southwest England, where it was described as Cornish. It quickly lost its French association and was soon included in a collection of Dorset Christmas carols. Today, we sing it to the tune Gloria, arranged by American organist Edward Shippen Barnes. In its most memorable feature is its chorus, in which the sung vowel sound of O or aw, of Gloria is fluidly sustained through a lengthy rising and falling melismatic melodic sequence. This information is brought to you by our word of the day, melisma. So melisma is an ancient Greek word meaning song. Isn't that a great word? Let's work that into conversation this week. And it is the singing of a single syllable of text while moving between several different notes in succession. Music sung in this style is referred to as melismatic, and the practice originated in both Gregorian chants and Indian ragas. So if you do a quick online search, here are the three best known melismatic songs. Angels We Have Heard on High, number one. The O in the word Gloria is held over 16 notes in the refrain. Then we have For Unto Us a Child is Born from Handel's Messiah. And this features a 57-note melisma on the word born, which is why I never try that at home without an opera singer singing in the background. And then we have I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston. And this includes long vocal flourishes on the words I and you in the chorus. So singers Sam Cooke, Ray Charles, and Aretha Franklin brought melisma to a wider audience through their popular music. And you might also think of the Christmas carol Ding Dong Merrily on High, which includes melisma in its repeated refrain, Gloria, Hosanna in excelsis. There's something about this sustained Gloria that is, well, glorious. As we sing that, we proclaim God's glory. We remember Jesus' birth. We receive Christ's salvation. We welcome the Spirit's power, and we anticipate God's restoration. So today, when we sing Angels We Have Heard on High, there's usually three or four stanzas, and there's a repeated chorus, which is the Latin translation of Luke chapter 2, verse 14a, which we say in English, Glory to God in the highest, in Latin, Gloria in excelsis Deo. Now, in the lyrics we sing today, we can hear echoes of the original lyrics, and more importantly, we hear echoes of what happened that night in the fields, a night that would change everything. It was the night of the birth of our Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. But the story doesn't stop there. The good news goes on. If we read just a little further in the Gospel of Luke, we discover what the shepherds did next. Luke 2, picking it up again at verse 16. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. The shepherds took off running to seek out this true King, Savior, and Messiah, and Lord. As shepherds, they were familiar with every manger in town. It wouldn't have taken them long to find the Holy Family. Then, after they saw Jesus, they made known what had been told them about this child, which was good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this child's birth resulted in all of heaven praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." These humble shepherds first received the good news of Jesus, saw him with their own eyes, and now spread this good news to others. So what about us today? We aren't looking at these Christmas carols just to find out some nice, safe background stories. We have come and heard the good news about this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. Along with the shepherds, may we not just hear the good news of great joy, but may we also be willing to go and share this good news with neighbors and nations. God is sending us out to make known what we have been told about this same Jesus. Let us make ourselves ready to spread this good news to others in every way we can, in every arena of our lives. God has planted you right where you are, precisely so you can become a living participant in the good news of Jesus. The good news goes on. Actually, when I was thinking about your reflection, Tamara, your communion meditation, the reason Jesus calls us the light of the world is because Jesus sends us to places that are dark. So we're always going to be finding ourselves in situations where we're like, why? So we need to remind ourselves and one another, it's because Jesus wants us to become part of the good news. Jesus is the light, and we are the light whom Jesus sends. So we're going to close today by singing together the four verses of Angels We Have Heard on High. So Lord, we just lay our lives before you. Thank you that you do not just spritz us with love and grace, but you love us not just double even. You love us infinitely more than we could ever imagine, guess, request, ask, beyond our wildest dreams. And that's the way you want us to love. You pour out your light, dispelling all darkness, and that's how you want us to shine. And we know that we fall far short of that. We are so aware of our limitations, our weaknesses, our foibles, our sins, our fears, our anxieties. We get upside down and mixed up when we let these things control us. But Lord, help us to fall into your love, fall into the ocean of your love, to abide in you, Jesus, and to let your love be the motivation, the source, the strength of our lives. Would you help us to love like Jesus? Help us to remember how much Jesus loves us, and then to freely remind other people, Jesus loves you. It might be those three words that you want us to say to someone. It might be a compassionate gaze. It might be a gentle touch. It might be an embrace. Help us, Lord, to be present with others in the pain, in the joy, in the circumstances of their lives. There's so much for which we can be thankful for to you, and there's so much pain that you want us to meet people where they're at. So Lord, help us to have eyes to see what you're doing, to have ears to hear what you're saying, to hear you well, and to realize that we don't see and hear perfectly, so we walk together in the world. You've put us here together, the body of Christ, to help each other, to remind each other, hey, Jesus loves you. Hey, God is with you. God is with us. Thank you that we're not alone. We do ask you for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. This week coming up is going to be filled with ups and downs. There's going to be people who
are healed. There's going to be people who pass away. We remember dear Rebecca and dear Karen and others among us who are really struggling. There's going to be people in pain who are hurting in bodies, hurting in hearts, hurting in spirits. There are those who are grieving, those who are rejoicing, all of us looking forward to the fulfillment of all things. And we look around this room at these wedding decorations, and we know that you're reminding us that at the end of the whole story, it's going to be a massive celebration when we're going to be together with you forever. And meanwhile, we wait. Meanwhile, we groan. Meanwhile, we hope. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the light and the hope of the world, and you've made us to be part of your story, part of your good news, to be the light and hope wherever you send us, wherever you've planted us. So, Lord, would you help us to remember, even when it's hard, even when we feel our strength is failing, when we become afraid, when we allow anxiety to dominate our thinking, help us to take a breath and remember who you are. That you are Emmanuel, God with us. You are never going to leave us alone. That's a promise that you've given us. And we thank you, Jesus, that you have come, you are here, and you will always be with us until Christ comes again and the fulfillment of all things. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest.